The Wild Date Palm, written by Diane Armstrong and read by Deirdre Rubenstein. Zichron Yaakov, 1910. The black-edged notice on page 2 of her Pole Hatzair caught Shoshana's attention. She took her foot off the treadle, put aside the muslin blouse she was sewing for her sister, picked up the newspaper, paused, and began to read aloud. Last Thursday morning at dawn, Miss Malka Reichmann left her lodgings. When she did not return, the landlady knocked on her door, but no one answered. Worried about her young tenant, she let herself in and found this note on the bed. From a distance, life looks beautiful, but that's a cruel illusion. Reality bears no resemblance to what I imagined I'd find in Palestine, and I can't stop asking myself why I left my village and those I loved to come here. If only someone loved me. If anyone had touched my soul and understood it, I could bear my loneliness. But I feel so alone in a blackness that surrounds me. I could never kill myself on a bright sunny day, but this is a cold and grey morning, and the sea is rough. I am not afraid to die. I read somewhere that we come from eternity and return to eternity, that our individual life is only a moment of consciousness in eternal life, something we can only understand when we are dying. Perhaps that's when it will all become clear to me. Please tell my parents I died of malaria. It is assumed that Miss Reichmann met her death in the sea. Her body has not been found. Her parents in Russia have been notified. Shoshana stopped reading, and the silence in the room was broken by her mother's sobs. Shoshana and Leah exchanged glances. "What a dreadful story," Leah said. "I could never kill myself." She turned to her sister. "Could you?" Shoshana looked pensive, but before she could reply, their mother broke in. "You can never tell what desperation might drive you to do." She wiped her eyes. "I can understand how that poor girl felt." The sisters looked at each other again. Batya was a strong, decisive woman who had an opinion about everything, but kept her feelings tightly knotted. Shoshana rose from the well-scrubbed wooden table and poured them tea from the silver samovar, one of the few belongings their mother had brought from Romania. Batya put down her glass and sighed. "That's exactly how I felt when I arrived here," she said with a faraway look. "You can't imagine how it feels to leave your familiar world behind and come to a desolate place in a foreign country. I cursed the moment I'd left my village. Imagine if you were suddenly transported to a wasteland where you had to start a new life."
"But you didn't want to kill yourself, did you?" Leah sounded alarmed.
Batya hesitated for a moment. "I had a husband and a small child to look after, so I had to keep going. But for years I felt a stone crushing my heart." Shoshana glanced out of the window at the stone gates of their home and the olive groves, orchards and vineyards on the slopes below. "It's hard to believe that less than 30 years ago, this was a wasteland." Batya sighed again. "If I spent a whole week describing what we went through, you still couldn't picture it. Sometimes I can hardly believe it myself. I don't even know how we survived."
"You've never told us about it," Leah said.
Then added, "You never told me anyway." Shoshana glanced at her younger sister and recognized the implied complaint. Perhaps because Leah was the youngest, she always felt excluded from family discussions. Or perhaps it was because Shoshana and their older brother Nathan had such a close bond. "I've been too busy to dwell on the past," Batya said. "Maybe you didn't want to relive a time when you were so unhappy," Shoshana suggested. Leah's envious eyes lingered on her older sister. As usual, Shoshi had a way of cutting through to the heart of things.